Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we talk to Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson about the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park, and we take a look at the recent deployment of Minnesota's 372nd Engineer Brigade with Captain Simone Butler. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
With April here, I'd like to take some time to talk about the annual turkey hunts at the Arden Hills Armory Training Site, April 18th through the 20th, and at Camp Ripley, April 19th through April 21st. I'm proud of the enthusiastic effort made to link returning combat veterans with disabled American veterans for the Minnesota Spring Tradition. This great event has been going on at Camp Ripley since 2005. During that inaugural hunt, 19 disabled veteran hunters participated. Last year, that number nearly doubled, growing to 37 hunters. In 2009, a deployed service member hunt took place at the Arden Hills Army Training Site. That first hunt saw 28 service members participate. In 2010, that number grew to 47. These hunts are endorsed by the state of Minnesota and are conducted as a benefit for one's service. Moreover, the hunts also help to control the population of turkeys that are on these two sites. It is a great collaborative effort with the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota National Guard, and the Department of Veteran Affairs. All of the available openings are filled, though, for 2011. But if you are interested in participating next year, I urge you to check out MinnesotaNationalGuard.org to find out how to apply. Thanks again to all the volunteers and Camp Ripley staff that make this environmentally sound turkey hunt so successful. And a special thanks to the returning veterans and disabled veterans enjoying this year's hunt. Good luck.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson join us. They're the founding members of the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park. Gentlemen, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Don, I understand you're a U.S. Army veteran and you served in Desert Shield and Desert Storm.
That's correct, Tom. I was 8 years active duty with the U.S. Army. Got to see about a third of the world, but started out as a combat veteran and continued from there.
And you brought with you today the Honorable Bob Nelson, the former mayor.
Yes.
How you doing, Mr. Mayor?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Can you gentlemen tell me, how did you get involved in the Yellow Ribbon programs? Where did the idea come from to make Spring Lake Park a Yellow Ribbon community?
Well, I heard about it on through the grapevine at the VFWs and American Legions and at one of the Spring Lake Park Lions meetings. Stan Kowalski, which was state commander at that time, wanted to get the Lions involved in Beyond Yellow Ribbon and asked for a volunteer. And I raised my hand, and that was the beginning. And then I went to a ceremony at Century College where then Governor Tim Pawlenty give out awards to cities and businesses that for the Yellow Ribbon. Talked to a lot of the soldiers there, thought it was such a great thing to have a community involved in. And from there, I just put in about 500 and some hours, made the dream come true to make Spring Lake Park a home for veterans and their families and provide the services that they need so desperately.
So you went to work and started forming a committee for the community.
Yep.
And how did when and where did Don come into this?
Well, as I went up there, I'm a member of the Men's Auxiliary at Post 6587, and I talked to Don about it. He jumped in with both feet. A tremendous man. I mean, he with the military background and me of never being in the service. His ideas and thought process and how the military works and families and being in those boots, I mean, actually walking in it, was a great, great help. I don't know if I could have did it without Don LaCroix's help.
Don, did you put the former mayor through some boot camp at basic training?
Oh, well, we did get the opportunity to do a little bit of that. We contacted Sergeant First Class Nelson down at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and got our initial sustainment initiation program going. Had a very large turnout from the community at that time. And from those individuals that turned out for that initialization meeting, we were able to pick our chairs going forward to create Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
How did you reach out to the community, and what type of people showed up at your organizational meetings?
Well, at the first organizational meeting that we held at the post, we had the opportunity to break it down into the normal groups for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We had the opportunity, several veterans organizations showed up, obviously the officers and post members of the VFW 6587 there in Spring Lake Park. We had the American Legion 303 post from Fridley show up. We had some of the 7th District VFW members show up, along with the Disabled American Veterans and the Purple Heart that had been part of the initiation classes from prior cities that were trying to get to beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We also had a lot of concerned citizens. We had the some of the businesses in the city show up. We had a couple of faith-based churches show up. And it kind of formed together from there. We had everybody sign in. We went to our separate groups, found out how to do it, and just kind of put together the work of getting it together.
We're speaking with Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson, founding members of the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Don, we kind of skipped over this for other communities that are listening today that might be thinking about becoming Yellow Ribbon. What's the purpose of becoming Yellow Ribbon community? What do you do?
The main purpose of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Tom, is to take care of soldiers and their families within the community, and not just in the city itself, but the neighboring cities. Any individuals that need the assistance for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon are there for them. Examples I could give would be veterans that have just gotten out of the military and need job assistance, those that are deployed and their families need assistance. It can be anything from as simple as going over and doing some yard work while the husband or wife is deployed, to helping them get pointed toward the right locations with the workforce center, or taking care of the soldiers while they're deployed, sending care packages, and helping out the units while they're here.
And, Bob, you've got an event coming up Saturday, don't you?
Yep. Yeah, it's Saturday morning. We're going to do a yard cleanup for a wife. Her husband's deployed in Afghanistan, so we're looking forward to doing the raking and picking up all the branches and a little bit of minor landscaping, you know, now that the snow's gone. And
you look like you heard already, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's well worth it, you know what I mean? The thank you, the smile that you get is just something that nobody can ever take away, and you just hold it so proud. You know, it's just, it's a good feeling. And then once anybody that's hearing this wants to get involved, if you want to put a warm spot in your heart and really make a difference, get a hold of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Committee or the city that's around by you that has one, and get up to the plate.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. We'll continue with our conversation with Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson after this these words. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson, the founding members of the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park. Gentlemen, we started talking about the purpose of the Yellow Ribbon and how you pull your community together to help military families in your area. You were proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon community last September, I believe. And how's it been working since then? How are you doing? How many families have you helped? What type of things have you been doing?
We've helped several families and our adopted units, Tom. Part of what we do, we throw up on our Facebook page, along with the BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org page that's out there. We've done helped a family move. We've held a Toys for the Troops benefit for them, where we had comedian Scott Hansen come in and perform. We raised about $500 worth of toys for our three adopted units. We've got four adopted units out of Arden Hills, the 13th PSYOPS Battalion, the 407th Civil Affairs Battalion, the 704th Chemical Company, and the 332nd Engineer Battalion, along with an active duty Army unit, the 173rd BSB Airborne Unit, that we've been taking care of.
And how do you interact with those units that you've adopted? What do you do for them?
We have the Military Adopted Unit Program, where we do face-to-face with the officers and the NCOs of the unit. For our four reserve units, we meet with them down at Arden Hills. And our active duty units in Germany and Afghanistan, we contact via email and mailings. We just recently sent them several care packages worth of sporting goods and cookies, coffee, things they can't get in Afghanistan.
So do they let you know the things that they'd like to receive so that you can send the appropriate items?
When the family readiness group and the family support group contacts us, they generally have a list of the items that the soldiers need. We then go to work with our support chain with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, getting those items donated and coming up with the funds to mail them out.
So I understand you have a monthly meeting with your committee and your Yellow Ribbon group.
Yes, the sustainment meeting is part of the key for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. If you don't meet on a monthly basis and make sure that all the chairs are doing what they can to keep it going, it has a tendency to fall apart. Our sustainment meetings are held the second Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m., alternating between the City of Spring Lake Park's City Hall and the Krauss Harding VFW Post 6587 at 7 p.m.
Bob, I understand that the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park recognizes service members when they come home from deployments. Can you tell me what you do for that?
Well, we just try to offer an open hand. We try to provide the fire department to go there with fire safety needs, police department to go talk to the individuals, let them know that they welcome the community, that type of thing. We try to hook them up with all the businesses that are providing services. The different volunteer groups, you know, to help them get back on their feet or, you know, whatever it takes.
So are there a lot of city council members and business community members that are active in your group that are trying to help provide support?
Yes, yes. What we did, we made a resolution that one mayor or the mayor and one council member be appointed annually forever to be on the Yellow Ribbon to keep it going. So we have the contacts no matter who's in office, who's not in office. And that way we kept it going on a city level.
So the city's participating or aware of what's going on?
Yep, and we have a line item on the water bill that goes out quarterly, letting them know the websites, contact numbers, phone numbers, so that every household that has a water meter, basically you get everybody, has this information when they open their water bill.
So when you go to these monthly meetings, you have a formal agenda and certain items you talk about?
Yes, yes, and committee reports. Every chair has a comes back with what they did. Like I'm starting the TV show now on North Metro 15 Cable that should start in the next couple months, I'm hoping. We're getting all the loose ends together and trying to dot all our I's and cross our T's, but that type of thing. The business leaders are coming in with different services that are provided. I think one of the hugest things that we got on board as far as businesses is a Lee Carlson Center for Mental Health. And I'm very active in mental health issues and that type of thing and counseling. And we've got them on board doing pro bono, whatever it takes, bring them in, put them on a hot, you know, a speed track if they need some assistance and some help, struggling with either mom or dad being gone, that type of thing, you know, to readjusting when you get home, because mental health is such a sometimes non-talked about thing, and these people need to be able to talk about it, especially the kids.
We're speaking with Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson, founding members of the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Gentlemen, can you give me an example of some action items that typically come up at your monthly meetings?
Sure. We've got each one of the chairs comes up, we'll start with reviewing actions that have happened during the past month, and then each one of the chairs, I'll give you the examples here. We have the city contact, veterans organizations, community support, business employer support, public safety, faith-based support, teacher and education support, medical and mental health, and local television media contact. And each one of the chairs will review what they have in the hopper as far as sustainment and things that are going on. Last night we had the report on the Yellow Ribbon, and we touched base with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon individuals who help with the schooling and how the school district needs to have something available for the kids that are there.
So these are the children of the deployed troops.
Yes, we found out that we have a total of somewhere around 201 children in the school district that we weren't even aware of had families that were either deployed or active duty service.
Now, I understand some of the Yellow Ribbon communities have been supporting some interaction among those children of deployed troops because they've had something in common. One parent is missing. Are you doing some of that stuff in Spring Lake Park?
We're working on Operation Backpack for the kids going forward. Also getting our local high school and grade schools together with the district management to provide a networking for the kids once we find out what they're doing.
And for those that are listening, what does your Yellow Ribbon Network need? What is it? How can the listeners help?
More volunteers.
Can always use volunteers.
Always use volunteers. It's, yeah.
And Don, I know you and I were talking earlier for any listeners in any other community that doesn't have a Yellow Ribbon program, they're welcome to come over and talk to you as well.
They sure are. Stop by during our sustainment meeting or contact us via our websites, the Spring Lake Park City website or the VFW6587.org website. Has direct contact links to our chairs. So if you've got a question on any one of the areas, we'll get it covered for you.
So the former mayor, any last thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I just get involved. If you can, volunteer. Never forget to thank a soldier for how he's serving our country. It'll grow this way since we've started this. Three surrounding cities, Moundsview, Blaine, and Coon Rapids, are going into the procedures of becoming a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon City. So the goal and the dream, it's growing. We need more people. And you can't have a better feeling in your heart if you jump on board with this program.
Gentlemen, you're doing a great job in Spring Lake Park. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson, founding members of the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. Timothy Miles was enjoying success as co-founder of PatchworkMemorials.com, a company that makes memorial products. Inspired to do something for military families, he started offering complimentary memorial quilts to Gold Star families. In order to be able to really make a difference, last year the St. Cloud man founded Fallen Heroes Foundation. Today, the nonprofit organization is offering memorial quilts to the families of service members that have fallen in combat since September 11, 2001. The foundation coordinates all services from quilters to monetary donors to provide this simple tribute at no cost to military families throughout the nation. The Fallen Heroes Foundation has started to gain steam with three quilts currently being fabricated. The response Timothy has heard from families has been extremely positive as they are all involved with the quilt's production from the start. By providing photos and inscriptions to be woven into the quilt, the families have found a therapeutic outlet to honor the death of their loved one. Thank you to the Fallen Heroes Foundation for showcasing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you, like Fallen Heroes Foundation, can make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at Minnesota's 372nd Engineers with Captain Simone Butler. That's right here on Newstalk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
I'd like to take a minute to talk about some of the great work that's going on right now in the field through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. One of our claim representatives recently had the opportunity to assist an OIF-OEF veteran right here in Stillwater. We made initial contact with Michael Kelly through an outreach event. He had never filed a claim and was being discharged from the United States Navy for a mental health issue. After connecting with our rep and working through the claims process, this veteran was awarded a 70% disability compensation for his claim. After reviewing his employment situation, it also became apparent that he was eligible for the VA's vocational rehab program. Mr. Kelly had some wonderful things to say about our department and how this process, this hands up, has helped him get back on his feet. But what was significant to me was the fact that he wanted to share his story in the hope that it would reach other veterans in similar situations who are eligible for these important benefits. To learn more about veterans benefits, please contact us today at 1-888-LINK-VET or minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelido. You can find out more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Captain Simone Butler joins us. She is the Human Resources Officer at the 372nd Engineer Brigade of the United States Army Reserve. Captain Butler, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom.
Captain, I understand you've been in the military for 24 years, and you're currently assigned as the Brigade Adjutant Human Resources Officer at the 372nd.
That's correct. I have been in for 24 years, and I'm currently the Adjutant for the 372nd.
Captain, did you start out as an enlisted?
Yes, I did. I started out as an enlisted soldier. I was enlisted for 11 years, attained the rank of Sergeant First Class, and I was at a point in my career where I had to decide if I was going to stay enlisted or become an officer, and I decided to take the officer path, and here I am today, a captain, enjoying what I do for the Army Reserve.
Now, did you do that through an ROTC program, or how
yes,
did that
work? Yes, I did. I was an SMP, a simultaneous membership cadet. So I was a cadet in the ROTC program, and at the same time, I was in the Army Reserve working in a position, in a lieutenant's position, gaining experience as I was working towards my commission. So I did the ROTC program at the University of Oklahoma, and then when I came out, I was a second lieutenant, or a Berta Bar, as it's often referred to.
Quite an opportunity, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Now, Captain, I understand the 372nd Engineers were deployed into Afghanistan from September 2009 to September 2010 with about, was it 138 soldiers?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, it was 137 soldiers, and we had one civilian that went with us, yes.
And you were on that deployment?
Yes, I was.
Can you tell us what was the mission there, and what did you do? What was life like in Afghanistan?
Okay. Well, again, we're Engineer Brigade, and basically what we were responsible for, we had route clearance packages that went out, and our RCPs cleared routes, which enhanced the freedom of movement for several battle space owners while we were in Afghanistan. We also had various construction projects that our units supported, constructing a lot of new projects on about 40 FOBs that we had, FOBs, which are forward operating bases in Afghanistan. We also had an engineer skills development workshop for some of the local Afghanistan, for some of the Afghanistan locals, and this helped them to enhance their construction skills and building projects on their own.
Can you give me an example of a construction project at a forward base?
For example, when we were at FOB Sharana, which is the FOB that our headquarters was located at, that FOB went from 2,500 personnel from the time we arrived to 10,000 personnel approximately 10,000 personnel by the time we left. So in expanding the five, that means you have to have more resources to take care of your personnel, especially more housing. And so some of the housing, even within our headquarters area, some of the locals built new barracks for our soldiers to live in. So that's just one example of some of the construction projects that the locals were allowed to come on the FOB and build for us.
Captain, it's been a lot of years since I was in the military FOB. Is that forward operating base?
Yes.
Okay. I'm catching up.
Okay.
So what do you feel were the most important accomplishments that your unit did in Afghanistan during that deployment?
Okay. Like I said previously, just the horizontal skills development workshop, that was a really big thing, training and teaching the Afghanistan locals on construction projects. And this also facilitated employment opportunities for them as well. And then, again, the expansion of FOB Sharana, that was huge.
Big job.
Now, for my job in particular, one of the greatest achievements that we did in my section, which is referred to as the G1 or the personnel section, we processed over 3,300 awards. And this was to include 80 Purple Hearts, Bronze Star medals, Meritorious Service medals, just various medals, CABs, combat action badges. We processed over 1,000 of those. And it was a lot of work. And that's just the awards. That's not including evaluations that we continue to process, R&R, emergency leave, theater releases when soldiers have to leave theater for whatever reason. So it's almost like we had a 24-hour ops going constantly. There's always some type of personnel or administrative need that a soldier had to be met.
Of course, we wish you'd have processed fewer Purple Hearts.
I know. Yes. Yes.
We're speaking with Captain Simone Butler, the Human Resources Officer of the 372nd Engineers Brigade, United States Army Reserve, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Captain, you mentioned some interaction with the Afghan civilians and military. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. The first time I was afforded the opportunity to go outside the wire, and that means when you leave the FOB, it was to a New Year's celebration at the mayor's house at Rushmore, another FOB about 5 miles down the road from FOB Sharana. And this opportunity allowed me to engage in eating Afghanistan food, or food from Afghanistan prepared. And I tell you, I was very hesitant at first, but same food, meats, but it's just prepared differently. And we also got an opportunity to watch dancing of their culture. And the thing I did notice is did not see any women. The only women we did see were females that were actual interpreters from the FOB. And then in turn, when it was the Afghan New Year, the Afghanistan New Year, they had their celebration in the local dining facility. And again, of course, the only women that you saw were interpreters, but the men would wear their traditional dress and they would do like dancing kind of in a round or in a line, you know, and it was very, very different to see.
How did they react to a woman officer in the United States Army Reserve?
Well, when I first got there, you get a lot of stares sometimes, you know, because they're just not around a lot of women. And not only that, you know, we're so free to interact within our army, and you get used to it, but learned a lot about their culture from them as well.
Were there certain things you could or couldn't do, or that were appropriate or not?
Not really. Nothing that we really couldn't do, of course, you know, just always on our P's and Q's. I would ask a lot of the interpreters sometimes just different things about their cultures. One of the things we thought was we always had to have our head wrapped up whenever we were in their presence outside of the FOB, but that wasn't true. But we tried to honor different things of their culture. So
not only acting as an officer in the United States Army Reserve, but as an ambassador when you're out interacting
Absolutely.
With civilians.
Absolutely.
And you were over there for a year?
Well, 10 months, actually.
10 months?
10 months, mm-hmm.
And when you came back then, we're going to talk, we're going to have to take a short break here in a second. When we come back, we'll talk about where you were assigned after that.
Okay.
So we'll continue our conversation with Captain Simone Butler after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking with Captain Simone Butler, the Human Resources Officer of the 372nd Engineer Brigade, United States Army Reserve. Captain, can you tell me what does a Human Resources Officer do?
A Human Resources Officer is a person that is responsible for the oversight of the G1 section within the brigade in providing essential personnel services. And we have over 5,000 soldiers that we support within the brigade, and that's in officer and enlisted promotions, processing evaluations, awards. We do mail, retention, and the biggest thing is personnel strength and accounting. And while we were deployed, that was one of our primary responsibilities, and that's ensuring that you know where all the boots are on the ground at all times while you're deployed. That's very important.
So you have to account for all the troops. Where are they? And
yes.
We're not missing any.
Absolutely.
Bring them all home, right?
Bring them all home. That's right.
Can you tell me what are some of the hardships that soldiers endure when they're deployed for 10 months? I know you're married.
Oh, yeah.
You have two daughters.
Yeah, married and have two daughters. And I'd say the primary hardship that you have to deal with is just being away from your loved one. I found that I was able to do the job without any problems, but just being away from your family. For me personally, I missed my 20th wedding anniversary, and I missed my oldest daughter's entire senior year of high school. But my family's very supportive of my career, and they're very strong individuals, and we just sucked it up and moved on with it. So,
and I understand your husband is a retired military man himself.
Yes, he is. He's a retired master sergeant. And if it wasn't for his love and encouragement and support, I wouldn't be as successful on my job as I am today.
So he knew what this was all about, and he knew what he was in for.
Yes, sir. He knew what he was in for.
And you missed the graduation of one of your daughters, didn't you?
Well, no. Actually, I was very fortunate to plan my R&R around that. I was a little nervous getting out of country if I'd make it on time, but I was very fortunate to come back for that.
Well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Captain, you were over there for 10 months, and you interacted with the people of Afghanistan. What should we know about that? How should civilian Americans feel about the work that you've done over there?
Okay. What Americans should know about what we've done and what we continue to do in Afghanistan is that our soldiers' efforts are not in vain. So don't ever doubt it. Despite what you might hear, don't doubt it. I know I had the opportunity to talk to soldiers while I was deployed that were on their fourth or fifth deployment, and they're very motivated about it. And
so we're making some progress?
Yes, we are. We're making progress. And a lot of times you don't see that on the news.
So the Afghan civilians feel like we're doing some good. We're helping them. We're making progress.
Yes.
Moving forward. They're better off than they were some years ago.
Absolutely. Better off than they were years ago.
Okay. And you and I had talked a little bit off the air about the family readiness groups and the training and the support that's available for, it wasn't just you, it was 137 other troops over there.
Well, yes, actually we have FRGs, which are actually groups formed of family members, and they're the ones that are in the rear. And this is like a network for family members. And we also have family programs personnel that are at the brigade level to help facilitate a lot of the things that support our family members while we're deployed. So, yes, we have a lot of that. And we also have yellow ribbon programs for when we come back for various training that we receive as we redeploy and deflate and
reintegrate
back. Yes, reintegrate back with our families and for some of our soldiers, their civilian jobs. Yes.
And you were here listening when we had the gentleman from on from the Yellow Ribbon Program in Spring Lake Park. Those type of programs are pretty helpful to military families who have people.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. So that must make you feel good when you're leaving to know that there's some support available for us.
It does, yes.
Captain, we're just about out of time. Any last thoughts for our listeners about the United States Army Reserve and your deployment and you becoming an officer in the United States Army Reserve?
Well, one thing that I always say, freedom is not free, truly. And our men and women that are serving on foreign soil, many of them, as I stated before, are proud to be there and proud to serve our country to continue to preserve our freedom as we support this global war on terrorism.
Captain Butler, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Captain Simone Butler, the Human Resources Officer of the 372nd Engineer Brigade, United States Army Reserve. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com.
4 minutes.
Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. If you have a question, submit it to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us in the studio is Sergeant First Class Melody Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Sergeant Nelson, what's in the mailbag today?
Hi, Tom. Well, I have a very timely question today. The writer writes in, is it too early to register for camp?
And we're talking about the military children.
I think they are, Tom. I think they're talking about our military camps.
And that's a darn good question. Is it too early yet?
No, Tom, it's not too early. There are so many camps going on this summer, and some of the registration windows are already weeks in the process. If you don't mind, I'd like to share some of these camps with you, because we have some coming up already in June.
Please do.
There is a family camp in June through Operation Military Kids. There's one June 17th through the 19th in Mound, and another one in another town called Cormorant. I'm not even sure where in Minnesota that is, Tom, but it's in Minnesota. And then we've got, eight different camps going on for our military youth in July. And then one of my favorite camps is coming at the end of July. It's the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp at Camp Ripley. And then in August, Tom, we have another four different camps going on. And in August, there are three opportunities for families to go to camp together across the state, really.
How do we find information on those and registration forms?
That's a great question, Tom, because there are so many, it's hard to navigate through all these opportunities. If you go to our website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org, and if you click on the Family and Wellness button, you can see right there on the right-hand of the screen, there's a button for camps. You can also go ahead and just type in youth camps into the search bar, and you'll come right to this page. But there you can see all of the opportunities, and every single camp listed, there's a hot link out, so you can go ahead and get your registration. Most of them are done right online, so within just two clicks, you can be registering your family for camp.
All right, Sergeant Nelson, I got a hardball question for you.
What?
What do you think of these camps, and have you been to any of them?
You know, I have, and I did kind of already allude to one of my favorites. It's because I've been there so many times. The Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp conducted at Camp Ripley every summer. I think I've probably been up there five or six times, Tom, taking videotape for them for the video package they put together at the end of the camp for the kids. It's a phenomenal thing to see all these young kids learning from our volunteer service members, military things, but really just great things to learn at camp and great things to empower these kids to be the best person they can be. And last summer, I got a chance to go to an Operation Military Kids Day Camp held over at Camp St. Croix across the river. And I got to go in a time when the St. Paul Saints were there volunteering with a baseball clinic. It was so neat to see, again, these volunteers working one-on-one with the kids to make these kids into great adults.
So these camps come highly recommended by Sergeant First Class Melody Nelson.
They do. They do come highly recommended. I encourage all of you, if your kid is of camper age, a military kid, get them involved in camp. It's a great opportunity. It's so so cost efficient. Most of them are free if there's any cost at all. And I will praise their camps anytime I can.
Thank you, Sergeant Nelson.
Thanks, Tom.
If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Don LaCroix and Robert Nelson from the Yellow Ribbon community of Spring Lake Park, Captain Simone Butler from the 372nd Engineer Brigade, United States Army Reserve, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about Souvenirs, a film made in Minnesota featuring the Red Bulls, and we get an update from our friend at Paw Pads on their work to help veterans with service dogs. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, Minnesota Military Radio Hour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at Minnesota Military Radio Hour.com. Thanks for listening.